again, it goes back to me saying, you know what, look at that brother over there. I see potential in him. You know, and this is what leads me to this. Do you know, and I stand to be corrected on this. I'm sure one of the candidates would say it, but I think we have, okay, 1,200 legitimate think tanks in America. And I think two of those legitimate think tanks are here in Maine. I know at least one of them is in the state of Maine. And that's all fine and dandy, but do you know what? The most of those research and think tanks are dealing with research, technology, mm-hmm. and that's fine and it's dandy. Why do we keep beating that drum since we have so many? Let's create a new think tank. Let's create a creative think tank, right? Because what if, listen to this. What if you had someone like a Walt Disney, which I've met a lot over here, and all Walt Disney carbon copy look-alike needed was someone to believe in what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then he needed someone to say, I'll back you, whether it was $5,000 or $500,000. Then he needs a place to come in and do his creativity.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have all of that. So why don't we have a creative think tank to where we horn in on those type of people and invest money in those type of people. I mean, I just heard that we have a movie studio here. Okay, I'm told we just invested in that. I'm not sure if that's true or not. Do you know about that?
I don't.
Well, that's something in the right direction. So we need to start investing our money in things like that. We need to start investing in our people that have really a lot of gifts and talents, and not just in technology, because that seems to be taking care of itself. I think we've
so you think the state should invest in movie studios? Is that what you're saying?
Well, let's put it like this. I'm thinking that, and I don't quite know how we could do this, but if every citizen in the state of Maine, I know everybody won't jump on board, but if they had an opportunity to say, okay, look, we're going to allow you to own a piece of this.
Okay, you have stock in it.
Yeah, so if you had 500,000 Mainers that had stock in it, then the people would own it.
Right, then you've got the momentum.
Exactly. So, and speaking of that, here's how I plan to pay for higher education. This is a good one. Another initiative. This is called Adams Initiative. So what would happen is like this. I've already talked to four or five of the companies, and I've got like 500 on my list, so we've got a lot of work to do. So what we've been doing is asking this question. Would you be willing, most of these are companies that like food companies, Hannafors and things of that nature. So we say, okay, we know that you have, say, 500 to 1,000 customers probably in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be willing to take 500 receipts? It could be probably per month. I'd rather it be a week, but let's just say a month. 500 receipts per month, and from those 500 receipts, 25 cents, no less than 25 cents, kind of like what the bank is doing now. Take 25 cents and let that be part of our educational fund. Of course they're going to say yes, because what's 25 cents? So we take 25 cents times 500, and then you take 500 times, let's say, 1,500.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put up 1,500.
That's how many, yeah.
Yeah, partners that we'll have.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the change is going to be, of course, less than 25 cents, that's okay. But in 1 year, we could have more than $1.5 million.
But that's on a voluntary basis?
Yeah. Well, that's with the different companies.
Right.
So then someone say, well, why would they do that? Why would they not? Because listen to this. It's a tax write-off. So they don't lose anything.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't lost anything.
And it's an investment in the future.
Yes. So then we put that money in the bank, in the foundation that we've already started. Then we find different organizations and companies that want to participate. You say, oh, how? So what we do then, we have, say, like 1,000 companies that will allow interns to come. So let's say, Michelle, you say, okay, Ms. Cooper Pete, I'd like to go to school. And I say, well, what is your major? Hotel and restaurant. Oh, okay. So then what we do is we call Michelle's lodge and say, Michelle, we have a Michelle that wants to major in hotel and restaurant. And we know that you have a position open. You say, yes, I do. I say, how long? You said, well, it's an open continuous and it's a permanent position. Great. So then I tell Michelle, okay, if you want to get this stipend, then what you have to do is do an internship for a whole year. What you have to pay that money back by being the intern. So there, that way your tuition is free, but you're getting a training in your field. These people don't have to pay anything because they are training.
Right.
So otherwise they would have had to pay someone to work in that slot. So you say, oh, what about insurance? Well, those stipends are enough to cover anything that could happen to a kid on that job is enough to cover. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And the prerequisite behind that is you have to do an internship for a year, and then you have to do a promissory note that you're going to work there after you graduate. That's how we're retaining you.
Okay.
For about a year and a half. But because it's something that you chose to do, and it's because it was your intern, now you have two chances. Because what if you're there and it's like, because you know, as a freshman or sophomore, so we know that. But you have two times. So, and the second time around, it should be a good fit. So you're going to come back and you're going to work in that workplace that you love. So we're going to encourage you, don't choose something just because it's a, you know, wait until you find something that's your passion.
Right.
And that way we can retain it. See, that, see, and it's changed my mindset. Because if you're in something that you love, and so that those are the initiatives that we have been working on.
Well, so aside from your visionary, from your vision, what else makes you different from the I'm making quotes in the air, the regular candidates?
Because I don't have any political pollution. They're sucking the life out of me every day. Okay. I don't. I can't be bought. I can't be swayed. I have a solid foundation underneath me. I really do. I have, and I'm not saying that the rest of them don't. You ask me about me.
Mm-hmm.
I believe I'm truthful, and I'm not saying that I don't have something in my past that I'm not ashamed of. I'm sure all of us do, you know. Do we pay our student loans on time? No, I think all of us have something that we need to, you know, take care of. But as far as morally, no, I don't have anything in my past that I'm ashamed of. Have I taken kickbacks? No. Lobbyists? No. None of that. I'm not politically polluted. And I can see things through a fresh pair of eyes. And I love Maine. You know, and it's so interesting because even before I really decided that this is what I wanted to do, people used to say, why are you in Maine? Why do you love Maine? And I used to say this, I wear Maine like a woman wears an expensive sable coat. Which means I wear white well. And I love it. And I don't think I've ever had maybe one bad day I've had in Maine. And it's because someone driving their car almost ran me off the road and I chased them down. Just tell them that I was going to report them. And she just cursed me. So that's my only bad day. I've only had one bad day and I've been here for years. That's pretty good. Serious, I'm not kidding. And I do. And I think for the most part, people like me. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
and
I think you're likable. Yeah.
Thank you so. And I think I'd be very good for Maine. And I really believe that we need someone who loves life and who loves Maine. And again, who's not taunted by the political pollution and the madness, you know? And I think it needs to be someone that can relate. Do you know, purposely, I think I've lived in 7 different towns here because I really wanted to see the different attitudes of the people. Westbrook is certainly different from Standish, and boy, is Standish certainly different from Kennebunk, but I got the flavor of them all, so that makes me a little different. And I think because I know how it feels, Michelle, to lose my job. I know how it feels to lose my health insurance. I know how it feels that to have to go and be in Maine Medical, which, by the way, is by far one of the best hospitals I've ever been in. And I just wanted to commend them on that. And I think it's about an attitude again, but I know how all that feels. I really do, and I know how it feels to have your doctor to go to bat for you and say, no, she's okay, and to say, you know what, I'm going to be okay, and I'm going to be strong. I know how all that feels. You know, do I know how it feels to be homeless? No, but I've dealt with the homeless shelter before. Do I know how it feels to be hungry? No, look at my hips and tell that I've never known hunger. do I know how it feels to have to call my mother when she was alive and say, I have no money to buy medicine? Yes, I do know how that feels. Can I relate to that? Yes. You know, have I worked on jobs here in the state of Maine that I didn't particularly care for? There were a few times I did. Have I been fired from a job because maybe I knew a little bit about, you know, the position than the supervisor and there was a little bit of tit for tat? Yes. But did I keep going? Yes. That's the whole point. Am I a survivor? Yes.
So, last year we had the same-sex marriage initiative. And
I love me and Michelle.
If that were to come up again, what would your position be?
I'm against it. Now, listen to this. I will not go against someone's constitutional rights But as far as do I believe in the matrimony between the same sexes, no, I do not, because of what I believe, and I believe in God, and I believe in the Bible, and that's my standard. I'm not ashamed to say it. You can print it if you want. It goes against all that I've been taught. Do I have anything against gays? No, I do not. I'm just saying you don't know what you're missing out on. Don't say that part.
And what about abortion?
I've never been pregnant, but I can't ever see killing a baby. I can never see having an abortion. And I stand firm on that as well. So, I mean, and I know that we have people that deal with that. That's their personal opinion, and that's something they have to deal with whomever they serve. That's between them and whoever they serve.
You're running as a write-in candidate.
Oh, isn't that funny?
How do you, if one of my listeners wants to vote for you, exactly what do they have to do?
So what they have to do is when they go to the poll, and it's interesting you asked because I did ask the Secretary of State about this. Do you have to write Beverly Cooper Pete? And he said it would be nice if they wrote Beverly Cooper Pete on the blank line where it says write-in. But if you forget to put the Cooper, you can just put Beverly Pete.
Okay.
Yes.
If somebody wanted to donate to your campaign, how would they do that?
They'd be the first. I've never asked for any money. That's interesting. Well, you can just send it to me in a check or a money order, P.O. Box 11554, Portland, Maine 04104. But I'd do you one better than that. Just, you know what? You should probably ask us, well, why haven't we seen you on any of the debates?
Why haven't they?
That's a good question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, and I found this out as well, because they don't really think that we matter and that we're important, the writings. I was told that. And you know what I said? Isn't that sad, because you do such a disservice to all of the registered voters in the state of Maine, because to say that is to say that you've already decided that they need to just focus on who you all want them to focus on, because those people are the ones who made the ballot. But you know what? A lot of things can happen between the time that people have to get their signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you do a disservice, because then they don't have a choice. And I believe that I'm the real choice and the right choice. But they will never know it, because the media shuts us out.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So my question to you is, if you got it so tied up and it's so all together, then why not invite us? It won't matter, will it? No, think about it.
No, that's
it.
A good point.
Think about it.
You've got a point.
So I would like to challenge each of them to allow us to come to the debates this month, and let's just see what happens, and let's let the voters make up their minds, not what you guys are dictating for them to do. And I know that's not going to sit too popular with the media, but I don't really care about that right now. It's the truth, though, isn't it?
Is there anything else that you think that my listeners should know about you that I haven't asked or that we didn't touch on?
Here's something, with, you know, all the meals that are closed up. Do you know that we pay between $18,000 and $20,000 per year per prisoner? So what I'm proposing is that we stop even thinking about building other correctional facilities, and let's take those prisoners that are in prison and let's put them to work. Let's bring back the Sunset Industries that we asked overseas. Put them in those old mills that have been closed, and let the prisoners take a responsibility for them. Because they say, well, we asked them because it's not enough money.
Mm-hmm.
They're not making money anyway. So why not give them, again, make it stock options, and let them own a part of it. But they're getting a trade. They're learning entrepreneurship and responsibility. Then when they get out of prison, Michelle, they have hope and some money in the bank. Then you won't have to worry about them ripping your daughter or ripping you off for doing drugs. Because
they
have a purpose. I just think that if they want a governor that would be a very good listener, if they want a governor that really has a heart for people and can understand them. And by the way, I want to say this. I've lived in, I think, 7 different states.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say I understand people, I understand people. You know, and I think that we need someone who really understands the different cultures. And that don't mean just race. That means just a culture can be just our way of life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have several different types of lifestyles here in the state of Maine, but you can understand that and understand the heart of people. I think they need to see that. And, you know, yes, it would be nice, I'm sure, for some if they thought, oh, well, she has, you know, 10 years of experience in politics. Well, what is, first of all, what's a governor? A governor is not a dictator. A governor is someone who's supposed to facilitate. And really, the governor is not supposed to come up with all the solutions, but to actually help implement them. And really, the people, believe this or not, are the ones who say, you know what, let's take A, B, and C, put it together, and then come to the governor, and the governor says, okay, well, this is how we can help you implement this in your particular town. See, they're saying one thing, but asking for something else because they're not quite sure. So let me say it again for the record. The governor is really just the CEO. You see? And mm-hmm. You guys are the board of directors. It's kind of like the head and the neck, but one can not the other. But see, the neck has been, it's all over the place. And the body and the head's been saying, wait a minute. Kind of like a Frankenstein just walking around again. Eyes open shut. Serious, so true, isn't it? And I make light of it, but look how serious it is. Mm-hmm. And look where we're headed in the state of Maine. Michelle, we've got to wake up. I mean, we really do. We really, really do. And there are certain, and I've noticed this, and this is a very sad thing, and I said I was going to say upbeat, but I have to say this. Do you know there are only a few people in the state of Maine that rule Maine? We've got to... Sorry, you gotta turn that good old boy system down. And you can quote me on that one.
You quoted yourself.
Okay, we gotta turn that good old boy system down. It's running havoc on the state of Maine. People don't even realize it. How? Come on. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sorry. Those days are over. It really is. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, and it's probably gonna take a woman to make sure that happens. I'm serious.
Beverly, thank you very much. This concludes my interview with Beverly Cooper Peet, the write-in candidate for governor of Maine.
At www.beverlycooperpeet.homestead.com.
Thank you very much. And I hope I'll be talking to you all again soon when we discuss the issues that are important to us north of Bangor.